Chapter 16, Ellie, April 3rd, 2019, San Francisco, California. "Please, Ellie." "Annika," Ellie groaned. "No," she laughed. "You go. It'll be good for you. A night out, just the two of you. I'll babysit." "First of all, it's not a night out, but a corporate mandate. And secondly, my mom is already babysitting, and she will watch your two, so you have no excuse." Ellie paused, rapidly trying to search her brain for another reason to bow out of the Robotop/Fuji Gala dinner scheduled for Saturday night, a night that Annika had been begging her to attend since the weekend. The last thing Ellie needed was a swanky gala and all the performative pomp that came with it. Dress, hair, makeup, shoes, small talk, golf and industry talk, the economy, and next year's presidential elections, a constant chatter around the table. The event was in only a few days' time, and she had been looking forward to a quiet weekend of doing mostly nothing. Work, childcare, and the student clinic, not to mention her new romance, were running her ragged. She wanted a break, not a calendar event. The gala was a celebration of the recent hush-hush merger of one of Silicon Valley's giants and Ben's robotic company, a deal Annika excused was the reason he'd been so tense and needed to take so many work trips to his London base. Knowing how moody he'd been lately, even though Annika still covered for him and rarely brought him up in conversation since their fallout, Ellie didn't want to appear to endorse her best friend's toxic husband. Surely attending his work event would seem as though she were, but how to say that to Annika without chafing her? She knew her friend needed the support and was likely nervous about attending the dinner without backup. Everyone was bringing their wives or partners, and Annika felt she had no choice. Ellie tried again. "I wouldn't know anyone there." "You'd know me," affirmed Annika. "And you're a pro at these corporate shindigs. I'm like the band geek sitting at the jock table. Besides, one of Ben's colleagues had to run off to Singapore on another deal, so we have an extra seat at our table." Ellie laughed at Annika's self-deprecation. She realized suddenly that this would be Annika's first night out since everything. Her friend really did need her. The guilt overwhelmed. Ellie had plenty of dresses in her wardrobe, care of Martha anyway, and found herself unable to proffer more protests. Annika had won. Ellie smiled, overcome. She would go to the Palace Hotel on Saturday night, smile, drink, eat, and make all the small talk in the world, all the while putting a virtual hand around her virtual tuba-toting friend. What else were friends for? "I guess I'm going," sighed Ellie, to which Annika punched the air and whooped. "Yay," she said. "Thank you so much, my friend. You won't regret it." Ellie's eyes drifted upwards towards the domed glass ceiling, cascading evening light into the sprawling atrium of the Palace Hotel. All around were people in black tie and fine dresses, and yet Ellie's eyes couldn't stop rising to the ceiling. The room was breathtaking. She'd forgotten how stunning the wide atrium was, with its huge gold and crystal chandeliers overhanging iconic older and marbled columns fit for a Roman palace itself. It had been quite some time since she'd been there. No events or meetings had taken her into the historic, luxurious building since she'd left her last role, and she felt excited to be here now. And a part of her did enjoy being dressed up, polished, and all set for dinner and drinks now that she was actually here. It had been a major rush to get ready after work, but she'd managed to fit in a blowout on her lunch break, and as she looked around at well-turned-out women all about her now, she was glad. Many of the partners looked like they'd stepped out of the pages of a magazine. She wondered how many were holding down jobs like her, stretched to the limit, with little time for cosmetic tweaks, long Pilates classes, and personal trainer sessions. Annika had bought a dress and did her own hair. She said she could never find a hairdresser who understood her curls, and being totally out of her natural habitat, needed extra reassurance that she looked the part. Seeing Annika dressed up but still not quite looking the corporate doll, Ellie realized that tonight was probably much easier for her than her best friend. Annika could not shake off the aura that she belonged much better on a yoga mat than strung up in a shiny dress. But Annika was right about one thing. Ellie fit right in. Ben looked dapper enough in his black tie, though Ellie knew he would become loud and raucous the more he drank. She was not looking forward to that. She could barely stand sober Ben as it was. As a tray of champagne glasses floated by, carried by a demure waitress, Ellie swiped two for her and Annika. Ben had immediately dumped them on arrival to glad-hand colleagues, while Annika had looked at her with a "thank God you're here" eyes as they watched Ben jubilantly kiss a brunette female colleague on the cheek and pump his male colleague's hands up and down. "That's the London team, I think," nodded Annika as they heard clipped British accents over the din. "Nice of Ben to introduce them," thought Ellie to herself. The newly created division was being launched as Fuji Fun, and roll-up banners featuring the new logo and branding had been placed about the atrium, although they looked a little lost in the vast room to Ellie. As her eyes scanned the room, she lingered on a person she thought she recognized, an attorney she'd once been acquainted with from another firm. The lawyer had been part of its corporate division and had been a hard driver of the Brad Foley ilk. She'd recently noticed on his LinkedIn that he'd moved to Hutton and Fetterer, and she remembered thinking it was a good catch for them, as he was a real pit bull in negotiations. He was speaking to a woman who... Wait, was that? Ellie felt a familiar dread taking hold, a mix of nausea and racing heart, blood flushing her cheeks, and the overwhelming urge to flee. "Jesus, Annika, did Hutton and Fetterer handle the merger?" she squeaked. "Huh?" asked Annika, holding up her glass to watch the light sparkle through it. "No idea, Elbel. How would I know something like that?" Ellie's eyes bounced from lawyer to lawyer as she counted up the faces she knew. The cold realization that she was now standing among a whole cohort of her ex-colleagues ripped through her. She felt the panic crescendoing. She was confronted with all that she'd left behind, with people she'd hoped she'd never see again, and she watched them laughing, as if taunting her. She was trapped. And what could she do? She couldn't leave Annika now, with the whole night ahead. "I'm not sure I can stay," she murmured to Annika, turning her whole body around as if to cast off the sight in front of her. "I can't face..." Alarmed, Annika grabbed her by the arm and squeezed it. "Ellie," she said, "if I can stay, so can you. Hold your head high. Do you think I'm comfortable here either? Do you think I've been looking forward to everyone's sympathetic glances, watching them wonder whether they should talk to me or seeing them turn the other way to avoid me?" Ellie stared at her friend, their pupils wide and matching like a pair of cornered animals. She felt deflated and then resolved. She could not cower. She simply would not. She straightened her spine as tall as her petite physical stature would allow, held up her chin audaciously, and plastered a smile-cum-grimace on her face. "Let's grab a drink," she declared, with a veneer of confidence as she hooked arms with Annika and they headed to the bar. "A real drink." At the bar, Ellie ordered two whiskey sours, and when they downed them, they ordered two more. No more after these," warned Annika as she tasted her drink again. "You know I can't handle liquor." But Ellie needed something to get her through this B-horror movie of an evening. They moved back to the atrium, where Annika made conversation with some colleagues of Ben's as she recognized, Ellie holding her breath to see if anybody would bring up the elephant that Annika dreaded most discussing. Realizing she was quite hungry, Ellie grabbed a canapé off another floating tray, carried by an immaculate waitress, and was just putting it in her mouth when she spied Dan the Man, a loud and often crass partner at Hutton and Fetterer, striding towards her. Dan the Man was the nickname given to him by the bros at the firm. Their creativity knew no bounds. He was one of a posse of men who often went for drinks together in the evenings, and Ellie had detested him. She shouldn't have left her utility belt at home, she thought fiercely. She could have used it to repel herself up and out the glass ceiling of the atrium at this very moment. In desperation, she turned her back, suddenly fascinated with a potted fern, contemplating a new career in landscape design. But it was too late to avoid Dan's advance. Embodying the hallmark casual arrogance of his compadres, Dan placed both calloused golfing hands on her shoulders with a slight massaging action, in the way men of his ilk take license to touch women in friendly little ways. Ellie pirouetted on her pointy-toed heels to face him. "Ellie Benvenuto," he roared, his face too near hers. "What a blast from the past. How's mommy life treating you? Must be pretty sweet to stroll in the park all day, huh? Ha, ha, ha." He guffawed into her face. Ellie felt her insides shrivel. Dan was a real enfant terrible at the firm, though admittedly there were so many of them he was hardly remarkable. The condescension was palpable, igniting a silent rage within her. Condescension, not condescension. Struggling to preserve her composure in the lair of the beast, she channeled her inner Medusa, imagining Dan caught in her laser-loaded gaze and zapping him into a stone memorial. Here once stood a pasty white dude whose greatest contribution to humanity was halitosis and spreadsheets. She flashed him a silent, cutting smile, nodded at Annika, and excused herself, saying she was just on her way to the ladies' room. As she stalked towards the impeccable and pleasantly scented restrooms, she could still feel the weight of Dan's sweaty palms on her shoulder and his predatory stare at her, and she shuddered. This evening was already turning out way worse than she had expected. How she wished she was at home right now, or even better, wrapped in Sam's arms, somewhere, anywhere but here. She pushed open the door of the restroom, opened a toilet stall door, put the lid down, locked the door, and sat and breathed. She would take a few moments of refuge before making her way into the lair again. "Pull yourself together, Ellie," she commanded herself. Just a few more hours and she would be home. Anyone could get through anything if they just held their nerve. Just a few more hours. She could do this. The evening wore on as welcome drinks moved on to dinner, where wine flowed and the courses seemed to take forever, leaving nothing much else to do but down the liquor. But then this crowd could do that like Olympians. The seats were arranged so that Ben was between Ellie and Annika, and he held court at the table, cracking jokes and telling long-winded anecdotes at which his British colleagues laughed commiseratingly. The woman he'd kissed on the cheek was sitting directly across from Ben, and Ellie couldn't help but notice how the two kept catching each other's eye. The woman was much younger than them all, Ellie guessed, early 20s, perhaps. She was quiet and standoffish, and Ellie had not spoken a word to her all night, but as she watched, she noticed that clearly her focus was completely and utterly on Ben. Ellie turned her attention to Annika to see if she too had caught the starry-eyed nymph, but Annika seemed lost in her own world. She barely looked around at all, instead concentrating on her plate, taking gulps from her drink, and generally looking like she'd excused herself mentally from the whole evening. Ellie looked at the bottle of wine on the table and realized that Annika had downed quite a lot of alcohol, far more than she herself had. Oh no, Ellie thought. Annika rarely, if ever, did that, and now that she looked closely, she could see by the glassy look of her eyes that she was in fact quite drunk. When dinner finally ended, after a long flurry of droning, predictable speeches, some diehards rose from their tables and headed for the bar, while others gathered in a little clusters to mingle once more. Ellie surveyed the huddles and could identify the sets within the room. Tech, management, HR, admin, congratulating each other for conquering the robotic toy world and other life-saving feats. From the stage, a live band kicked into action and the atmosphere lifted as some women rushed the dance floor to whoops of delight. Voices raised over the din, Ben excused himself to the bar, asking both Ellie and Annika what they wanted to drink. Annika wanted another wine, and Ben had scurried away before Ellie could even protest that maybe he should get her a sparkling water instead. It was as if he didn't even see his wife, or perhaps he himself was too lubricated by libation to notice Annika's vulnerable state. Ellie glared at Ben's back as he traipsed to the bar, while the dark-haired pixie quickly caught up with him. They leaned in towards each other, and Ellie saw Ben wrap his arm around the woman and give her a quick squeeze. Was that a friendly hi or an intimate hi? This evening was too much. "Want to go to the ladies' room?" Ellie asked Annika, but her oversauced friend waved her away. "No, thanks." Ellie lingered a moment before once more making her way to the sanctuary of the gilded restroom, allowing time for the post-dinner crowds to filter out. The marble floors echoed her steps, a stark contrast to the din of the gala outside. She washed her hands first and checked her makeup, enjoying the ooze of the warm water against her palms. Surprisingly, the makeup she'd applied earlier that afternoon had not budged. Go, Ellie! Upon hearing the door open and the sound of two women approaching with the force of minor tempests, she dashed to a stall, still clutching a monogrammed towel in her hands, and shut the door. Oh, how she longed to be alone at home in her pajamas, or swaddled in Sam's shirt, melting into him. She sighed and leaned her head against the side of the stall. She took out her phone and sent Sam a quick kissy face emoji. They were in daily contact, and Ellie felt a little tingle every time she saw his name pop up on her phone. Poor Annika. She would have a raging hangover tomorrow, and looking after small children while your head ached was no picnic. The toilets flushed beside her, and she heard the gather of the two women at the sinks, clucking, admiring each other's dresses, while simultaneously running down their own appearance. "Megan, oh my God, this merger has been hell. I'm so glad it's over. But, oh, I just love that color on you. You should wear it more often." "Oh, thanks, Olivia. I know, right? What a pressure cooker. And I love your highlights. They're new, right? I noticed them the other day when I was at the photocopier. They're just fab. Megan. Olivia. Ellie had worked with Megan and Olivia at Hutton and Federer. Megan was an executive assistant for Dan the Man. Olivia was an associate attorney, 4 years Ellie's junior before her unceremonious departure. Ellie eavesdropped as the two women tittered at the sinks, preening. She dared not emerge from hiding now. "Did you see who was here?" asked Megan, her voice slurring conspiratorially. "Who?" demanded Olivia, her words muffled by her hand, redrawing either her lipstick or lip liner. "That attorney who used to work with us. What was her name? I can't think of it. She left. She had a special needs kid?" "Who?" asked Olivia again, her voice raising an octave. Curiosity piqued. Ellie heard one of the women, Olivia, hiccup and teeter towards the plush peacock blue tufted bench and plop herself down. "I swear these Louboutins are plotting to kill me." She discarded a spiky and red-bottomed heel with enough vigor that it landed just beneath Ellie's stall door. Ellie stared at it, contemplating its potential as a makeshift weapon or an instrument of escape. Oh, how she wished haute footwear were her greatest adversary of the night. "I can't remember her name," Megan continued. "I don't know who she works for now, but I saw her here, a senior associate, a few years ahead of you." "Not Ellie Benvenuto," remarked Olivia. "Yes," exclaimed Megan. "That's her." "You're kidding," retorted Olivia. "I wondered where she'd gone. She had started in litigation, then moved to our corporate group, but then disappeared. Why the heck would she be here?" "Isn't she at home, wiping bottoms and scarfing string cheese?" smirked Megan. "She should be." There was a lull in the conversation while Ellie tried to normalize her heart rate. She was caught between the instinct to flee and a morbid curiosity to hear every single word. Her experience in handling dozens of depositions told her that when the witness babbles, let the gush flow freely. "Dan always said she was a pain," murmured Megan. "Didn't she go crazy over some timesheet thing, try to get everyone in trouble?" Timesheet gate. Ellie's supervisor, Martin, had told her to illegally falsify her timesheets for pregnancy-related doctor's appointments while pregnant with Nathan, and Ellie had refused. "Probably," said Olivia, "a real goody-two-shoes. Couldn't be trusted, I guess. Yeah, Roger said she was good riddance."
"Really?"
"Yep, he wrote it to Warren in an email the day after they let her go, that she wouldn't be able to toe the line anymore with a special needs kid."
Roger and Warren.
Oh, Ellie remembered them all right. She remembered Roger's crowded pink frosted bottom teeth as he chuckled at the "Is this the last of the pregnant woman?" wisecrack by that little toad, Warren. Megan dropped her voice to impersonate a man in a silly voice.
"Not the good soldier we thought after everything we did for her career." And "all these women who think they can do our jobs and come and go as they please, popping out babies like Pickle Lane already."
Both women burst into a fit of giggles.
"He thinks I don't read his emails," said Megan. "But I do. I have access to everything. No farewell party for her, of course."
"Not worth the time away from billable hours," added Olivia haughtily. The hairs stood on the back of Ellie's neck as she listened to Mean Girl 1 and Mean Girl 2 mercilessly cackling. Without thinking any further, she stood up, flung open the stall door, picked up Olivia's shoe, and strode to the sinks. Olivia and Megan dropped their jaws in shock, and Megan's hand froze from massaging her sore foot. "Olivia," nodded Ellie, tucking the shoe under her arm as a hostage and turning on the faucet. "Megan." Savoring the absolute horror on the women's faces, Ellie unhurriedly took another monogrammed towel, dried her hands, then calmly approached Olivia at the bench. "I believe this is yours," said Ellie, and set the shoe in her satin lap.
Ellie,
stammered Olivia, but Ellie was already retreating, her posture high, head straight, denying the gossiping geese one word of remorse. In the corridor ahead, she thought she glimpsed Ben disappearing around a corner. She made her way back to the table to check on Annika, only to find her weeping, head in her hands. A chic woman with bobbed, sideswept hair, looking helplessly bewildered, sat beside her.
I don't know what I said,
intoned a woman who was dressed in a smart and unusual tuxedo-style dress.
Annika? Asked Ellie gently, rubbing her arm. What's wrong? Annie?
Annika shook her head, unable to speak. Suddenly she stood up. I want to go home, she said. Now.
That's fine, said Ellie soothingly. That's fine. Let's go find Ben and tell him. Folding her arms, Annika staggered forward. "What happened?" Ellie asked the other woman as she stood up to follow Annika. "I've no idea," said the lady, looking totally confused. "We were talking about our children. I told her the kids were driving me crazy, that I'd die if I got pregnant again, that I'd rather... It was a joke. It seemed to upset her." "For God's sake," said Ellie, "her little boy died last year." "Oh my God," said the woman, mortified, and she put her hand to her mouth in shock. "I didn't know. I'm really sorry. I didn't know." Ellie rushed after Annika, who was bumping into each table she passed like a steel ball in a pachinko machine seeking its exit. "Wait," Ellie cried. Annika was stupid drunk. In the corridor, she gripped the wall as if she were about to collapse. Ellie had never seen her so far gone. "Wait here," commanded Ellie, maneuvering Annika into a low sofa further up the corridor. "Just wait here a second. I'll go find Ben and call us a car, okay? Please don't move from here, all right?" Annika nodded, like a child herself, barely able to function. When Ellie rounded the corner in search of Ben, she found him tucked up tight in a secluded chair with the raven-haired woman, their legs crossed over each other. They had found a quiet corner to escape to, their body language far too intimate and compromising. "Ben!" Ellie barked, dispensing with decorum. He looked up, saw her, and leaped from the chair, ejecting the young woman from his knee. "Ellie!" he blubbered. Ellie walked right up to him and narrowed her eyes. She looked straight at the young woman, then back to Ben, branding them both with her knowing exactly what the score was. "Have you met Vanessa?" he sputtered, trying to recover. "From the London team." "We were at the same table at dinner, Ben," shot back Ellie, adding icily, "but we didn't get acquainted." What nerve, and what a creep. "Annika needs to go home," demanded Ellie, shunning the dainty paw Vanessa proffered for shaking. "She's not feeling well. She's had too much to drink." Ben rolled his eyes contemptuously. "She can't drink," he exclaimed. "She always gets like this." Annika did not always get like this. She was usually very careful when it came to drinking, as she valued her health too much. Tonight, she had drank because she was desperately uncomfortable, sad, and now, Ellie realized, confronted with the cold, stark reality that her husband was having an affair.
"I can't really leave," slurred Ben. "There's still so many people I need to speak with. Why don't you take her home?"
So, there it was. She was being ordered home by husband of the year himself. If he needed to speak to so many people, Ellie thought bitterly, then why was he wasting his precious time with this young British tart draped over him? "Fine," sighed Ellie, defeated. "Order us a car. We'll wait in the lobby." "Great," smiled Ben, with the hollow gratitude of a spoiled child who expected a pony for his birthday all along. Vanessa stepped back and folded her arms protectively. Good instinct, thought Ellie. Ben now had the whole evening to spend with whomever he wanted, Ellie realized as she walked back to Annika and helped her up out of the low sofa. Such freedom, with no repercussions. "I know," said Annika, as they drove through the streets of the San Francisco Financial District, the Transamerica Pyramid tinkling like an ornament in the Bank of America building towering over California Street. "What, honey?" asked Ellie, squeezing her hand. They grasped palms in the back seat of the car like two small children on a school tour. Annika was staring out the window as the car made its way along Kearney Street towards North Beach. "Everyone thinks I don't know, but I know." Her voice was low and labored. "I found a receipt after he came back from London months ago." Annika turned her glassy eyes to Ellie. Ellie just listened, though she already knew this story. "I remember because it was my birthday, and Ben said I had takeout, chicken chow mein, but I found the receipt." She was reliving it. "He went out for dinner after that call. Dinner for two, wine, all of it. He lied to me. And so, I know. I've known for months." She turned her head back to the window and rolled it down just enough to let some fresh air blow in. In her state, Annika forgot she'd mentioned the dinner receipt to Ellie months ago, but then wouldn't talk about it anymore. She didn't know how to respond. "I'm really sorry, Annika," she whispered. Annika shrugged, drunkenly, and then added defiantly, "I will not be divorced." Ellie, bristling, didn't challenge her. Annika was in no fit state, even if it did rankle her that her best friend looked down upon her personal situation. Instead, she squeezed Annika's hand and turned her own head to the window. Under the shadow of Coit Tower, Annika exited the car, steadying herself at the wall while Ellie rummaged for keys. She managed to wobble up the stairs by herself, leaning on the banister for support. Ellery moved her clicky heels and brought her right into the quiet flat where Bravo met them at the door, tail swishing, but fortunately not barking. He was intuitive like that. "Good dog," whispered Ellie, shuffling Annika into her bedroom. Ellie helped her off with her shoes and dressed and got her in her underwear into bed. She fetched a glass of water from the kitchen and placed it with two Tylenol on her bedside table. "I'll leave these here for you," whispered Ellie. Bravo had climbed onto the bed and wedged himself against Annika, sensing she was not well. Ellie gave him a couple pats. "Buonanotte, Bravo," she whispered. She tiptoed to the living room and one by one carefully lifted Luca and Nathan, who were camping in a tent in the living room with Layla and Milo, who didn't stir. She carried them in two trips to their own beds and left the flat silently, deeming it a success that she had got Annika safely to bed without waking Annika's sleeping mother. It was quite the operation, and afterwards she sat, feeling not tired like she had expected, but filled with angst and energy. How dare Ben treat Annika like that? How dare he risk their family and bring more unhappiness upon them? How could he do such a thing after the loss of their precious little Hugo? How could he be so callous? She rose from her sofa and paced the living room floor, feeling a fire building in her belly. How unjust this world was, how it was geared towards weak men, protecting them at all costs. Annika, she knew, would excuse Ben's behavior as grief. She seemed to have no inclination to hold him accountable, to shine a light on his selfish, despicable actions. She took a facial wipe and attacked her makeup in the living room mirror. She needed a cold cleanse to get to the dark mascara, but as she stared at her reflection, a thought descended on her. She looked different, wilder, determined. Angry. There, staring back at her, was not a woman defeated by her past, but ignited with a resolve to confront it. Makeup still half smeared, she walked to the dining room table and opened her laptop, her painted nails click-clacking on the keys. She scrolled her inbox and blinked. She was more sober than Annika, for sure, but she'd had plenty of wine at dinner and it floated in her system. Was it really a good idea to email now? Yes. Yes, it was, she thought. All I truly have is right now. "Hi, Ruby," she typed. "Can you put me in touch with that attorney who you said was eager to take my case? I'm going forward with my lawsuit against H&F. She hit send before she could deliberate it anymore. The whoosh of the email sending shot a thrill of electricity through her. The foggy night air outside seemed to hum with a promise of retribution, the reassuring beacon of her Coit Tower illuminating a resolute course, and she closed her laptop with a decisive snap. Take that, Hutton and Fetterer. "Once more unto the breach, dear friends," she muttered to herself with a newfound focus and fury. Fuji fun indeed. These fellows wanted to play? Let's play.